Welcome to the Wine Nirvana podcast. Wine reviews for the average wine drinker. No pretense, no snobbery, no numerical ratings. And here's our host, Stephen Hawk.
Hello, I'm Stephen Hawk, and this is the Wine Nirvana podcast. Those of you tuning in for the first time, I'm probably wondering, what the heck is this? I'll tell you what this is. Wine Nirvana is a compilation of primarily wine reviews, some spirits reviews, targeted towards the average wine drinker, people who are interested in wine but don't have any snobbish preconceptions, or maybe don't have any preconceptions at all and they're looking for some direction. So the reviews are simply written in clear, non-arcane wine language. I don't have any interest in either a numerical or star rating system, because I think a lot of wine enjoyment is subjective anyway. And I think it's facetious to try and put a number like 96 or 86 on a wine. And here's the other thing, the truth of it is, if you look at traditional wine publications like the Wine Advocate or the Wine Spectator, you won't see a wine under 85. So what's the point of a 100-point scale anyway? You probably wonder what makes me an expert, and I am self-taught. Haven't been to wine school or anything like that. But I've been writing about wine now for 15 years, and have acquired a body of knowledge just through reading wine journals and reading books about wine. So it's, again, this makes these opinions my own, but so self-taught. You're probably wondering if I'm drinking a glass of wine right now, and yes, I am, because when in Rome, yeah, let me tell you what we're drinking today. This is a La Crema Chardonnay out of California. La Crema has been making wine for quite a few years and are particularly famous for their Chardonnay, although they do have a number of reds, including a Pinot Noir. And their Chard, I don't know if the wine followed the name or the name followed the wine, but their Chardonnay is in the classic California style of some oak, some butteriness, and that creamy smoothness. The reason I decided to start Wine Nirvana and share some of my insights is I've been writing reviews for a number of years for a regional magazine, and I thought, this is fine as far as it goes, but it would be nice to share this information with a broader audience, and with the current advent of podcasting, that seemed like an easy and convenient way to reach a wider audience. I was recently reminiscing about my start in wine. I grew up in a household where my father was an alcoholic and my mother was an evangelical teetotaler. So there was no drinking in the house during my entire upbringing. I did not drink at all through college even. And so, because I avoided alcohol, but out of habit rather than a genuine conviction of doing so. And 2 years out of school, I had a coworker who was very surprised to find that I didn't drink at all. And so he offered me one evening after work a glass of red wine. And he was a very charming fellow, and basically his attitude was, well, give it a try. If you like it, great. If you don't, no big deal. We'll just move on. Well, having had that first glass of wine and discovering that it did not turn me into an alcoholic, I've been pursuing wine ever since. All true. I am not a wine collector. I certainly have a wine rack in the basement, and it will be filled at any one time from between 10 and 100 bottles, depending on if I've been to the grocery store recently, primarily. But I don't collect. And in fact, there was a period where I was buying some higher-end wines that I would reserve for 10 years. And then, usually in January, but sometimes for a special occasion, like an anniversary or something like that, I would drink that wine, and it would be 10 years after the vintage date on the label. And I did that for about 7 or 8 years. And what I realized was that because I usually drink wines young, most of these wines that had been cellared for 10 years, they were often disappointing. And I had the sense that had I drunk them younger, I would have enjoyed them more. And this also, I think, has to do with the fact that I lean very heavily towards New World wines. I don't drink a lot of Europeans, which are historically the more age-worthy wines. Although California, even South America, they certainly make some age-worthy wines. But I just decided I didn't want to wait. So, and the idea of having, you know, the setting cost aside, because it's a rarefied hobby, but the idea of having unopened cases around has never made any sense to me. Wine at its core is, and as like beer as well, it's a food, and it is almost all wine is made to be consumed within months after you buy it, if not the next day, and it's made to be enjoyed with dinners. So yeah, so the idea of stacks of cases of wine in the cellar just makes no sense to me at all. As I mentioned before, I have been writing articles now for about 15 years, and I started as the wine critic for a regional golf magazine as part of a push to get into to broaden the magazine's editorial content out of just golf into some additional lifestyle features. And I realized recently that I had a body of work that I decided to then repurpose as the Wine Nirvana podcast and website. These articles cover all kinds of wine. Like I say, primarily New World wines, simply because those are the wines that I gravitate towards. And by New World, I mean North and South America, reds and whites, usually dry, no Rieslings. I did discover 3 or 4 years ago that, you know, Rieslings are not for me. Rieslings are stereotypically thought of as sweet wines, and I started drinking some Rieslings, searching for dry expressions, and I found some, and I did not like them. And after half a dozen Rieslings of various levels of sweetness, I just finally realized, like beets, they are not for me. So you won't find a Riesling review, I don't think, in the whole bunch. Let me tell you what I'm excited about these days. Although winemaking is an ancient art practiced for centuries, it seems like wines from around the world are just getting better and better. Winemakers are becoming more sophisticated. For many years, if in some cases centuries, because these are family businesses, the wines would be made the same way, year in, year out, decade in, decade out. Sometimes that was great. You know, obviously they're the great first crew houses of France have made fortunes. producing wine that way. But a lot of the other wine, well, you know, there's a lot of mediocre wine out there too. And what is intriguing about the wine world, and like I say, really this is around the world, winemakers are trying to, because there's a ton of competition, so they're trying to deliver a better product. There's a lot of concern now about the impact of climate change and how it is impacting winemaking, because at its heart, wine is an agricultural product, obviously. So producers are learning about, and a lot of them are having to educate themselves. They're learning about organic farming, biodynamic farming, how to husband their resources. Water, of course, is becoming more and more critical. It's going to be a big issue. It's always been an issue for California, and it's going to be a lot bigger. Some of the things we've seen, like in France, the last couple of summers, where they have, you know, temperatures of 100 in the vineyards, this stuff, this is unheard of. And if they get a heat spike like that 2 or 3 weeks before harvest, that harvest can be wiped out. And they're already some, and of course it depends, changes every summer, but there are regions that have already started suffering, you know, they're seeing 30-40% reductions in yields. And so they are, people, producers around the world are deeply concerned, and they're not sitting idly by. They're trying to be as proactive as they can. Now, you can't control the weather, obviously, but winemakers are trying to, what they've realized is that they can no longer be complacent, that they have to address these issues, or they're just going to lose their livelihood. So it's a critical issue. Yeah, the dire depends on how pessimistic you want to be. I mean, there are dire predictions that after 2050, Napa Valley won't be able to grow wine. It'll be too hot. Won't be able to grow grapes. But we won't see. But some of you might. I won't see, but some of you might. Let me tell you what you can expect from this podcast. It'll be brief, highly opinionated reviews of the wines that I like to drink.
This has been Winervana. To learn more, visit us at www.winervana.com. This is a production of Habanero Media.